Hey, what's going on, guys? Sean Mathis here with my co-host Doug Milam, coming to us live from Arizona. Welcome to the show. This is our episode number three, so we're trucking right along. If you are seeing this on YouTube, make sure you go and subscribe over at blogtalkradio.com/insurancehustle. This show is all about entrepreneurship, the grind associated with being an entrepreneur, but most specifically for as it relates to insurance agents. And we're going to keep delivering good content. But I think, you know, our topic today, the dark side of the hustle, really applies to insurance agents and small business owners alike. I think that everybody experiences the dark side of the hustle, but rarely talks about it. You know, with social media, we see all the glitz and glam of the successful people. We see their cars, their houses. And we see all their check-ins and the vacations they take all over the world. And everybody looks like they're living in fantasy world that is an entrepreneur. And with the evolution of coaching programs and the increase of affiliate marketing, you know, everybody is putting on that, you know, entrepreneurship is just this glorious pixie dust and unicorn life. And truth is that it's really not. And you know, I actually put a post on Facebook about it, about some of the struggles that I have as being an entrepreneur. And you know, I was thinking, am I crazy? Is this just, is it me? Am I, you know, I really question it. Is there something that that I'm doing that's causing me to feel the way I do and have the stress and struggles that I'm having, or is this normal? And the response was overwhelming that everybody's like, yeah, me too. Definitely the same way. You know, I feel the same way. And so I guess to sort of just kind of use that as a platform, I'll kind of capture what it was that I was feeling the other day and that I struggle with, not all the time, but quite often. Basically, I said the untold side of entrepreneurship: insomnia, anxiety. I feel like I could and should do more, but I also feel like I'm maxed out trying to balance it all. I question if my expectations are too high, if I'm pushing too hard, or if I'm being weak and making excuses. I don't know if I'm with my loved ones enough, but at the same time, I feel like that when I'm with them, I'm sacrificing things that I should or could be doing at work. So that balance is really difficult, and I've really struggled with it for, God, I'd say at least 8 to 10 years. For as long as I've been an entrepreneur, really. And so, and I said, is my battle common or am I nuts? It's a hard battle that I wage war mentally, not always, but sometimes it's a never ending battle that I just seem like it keeps me up at night, and I struggle with that. So I did some research. Doug and I have done some research on some of the stats that entrepreneurs face, maybe some of the causes of feeling anxious or depressed or having insomnia. So number one, you're not alone, right, Doug? I mean, I think, you know, Doug and I have kind of a similar story. I started out as an insurance agent. I had a really cush job, built a well-oiled machine, figures, and I left that to do what I'm doing today and launch my consulting business and selling digital products and doing affiliate marketing, which had no base salary, had no benefits. It was sink or swim. And so walking away from $250,000 a year salary position that I was at with benefits and 401k and vacation time and the whole nine, to the unknown was exhilarating, exciting, all those good things, but it was also scary as hell. And fortunately, I've done really well for myself, far better than I ever expected, but it's not always been pixie dust and unicorns, as I like to call it. There's a dark side of the hustle, and Doug recently, you know, the same thing. He went from a salaried position with guarantees and sort of a, you know, a schedule, a very structured corporate world, to coming on board with me and joining the entrepreneurship of no guarantees, no work, no pay, and you know, straight commission. So it's got, I wouldn't do it any other way, but there are challenges associated with it. So before I jump into that, Doug, tell us a little bit about, I mean, this is fairly new. I mean, you came on board in March. So, you know, from your perspective, you know, we talked about it last night. What are some of the things that you deal with and as a new entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I agree with you. I wouldn't do it any other way. You know, if I had to go back and, you know, go back into the quote unquote corporate world, like it's just, I couldn't do it. You know, so, you know, the good comes with the bad and you accept it. I think for me, a lot of times it's the dark side of it can creep up on you really quick. Because the excitement of it, you know, you mentioned the insomnia and, the lack of balance. There's times you can get so excited in what you're going for and what the potential is that you see there that I know I can very easily go 2-3 nights without sleeping and, you know, in front of the computer nonstop and kind of forgetting about all the other pieces of life that are there. And then it's really easy for it all to kind of crash down from just your body just being exhausted, you're mentally exhausted. The stress can come in and all of that. So even in the good times, like it's really easy for that to creep in. And then especially in the down times when, you know, you have a week where, I mean, cause it happens. It's going to happen. You have a week where it just, things don't click. People aren't answering the phone. You know, something crashes on you or whatever the case may be. And, you know, in those moments, like it can be really easy to let that stress keep you up laying there at night, trying to think of all the ways to fix it, all the ways to do everything. And I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, the mental side and having that balance, to be able to get that rest and unplug and sleep and be able to hit reset has been a huge balancing act, you know, still trying to figure out exactly where that lands totally.
Yeah, 100%, man. And you know, I think the whole reason that I wanted to talk about this, you know, it's a deviation from our normal, you know, excitement and push and grind and you know, the hoorah and getting everybody motivated. You know, as much as I hate to have an episode that isn't like exciting, I think it's important that we talk about it because, you know, people just don't talk about this kind of stuff anymore. And then it leaves you thinking like I was like, shit, man, like, is it me? Like, I don't see everybody else having these struggles. It seems like everybody else is fine and their family is great and everything's great. And I've got all this shit going on. And then I start to question myself and then I just get wrapped up in my own head. And a lot of times get in my own way. You know, I think, you know, divorce rate is ridiculously high among entrepreneurs. I'd say maybe only second to military. I haven't looked at the comparison, but unfortunately I was in both. I did the military thing and the entrepreneurship thing. So not surprisingly, I also have a divorce under my belt. Not that I'm proud of, but, you know, something that I'm not afraid to talk about. And a lot of that foundation started crumbling as a result of work. It started with networking and you know, my wife being a 9-to-5 and I'm an entrepreneur and just not being able to make that partner understand that I cannot do it the way that you do. There isn't a done for me. It isn't, there's no, I'm off work, I go back tomorrow. There's not that separation. And Doug's got something he'll share about that. I think something that we all entrepreneurs face is because if you're doing something you're passionate about, you begin to have this merge of identity of, and you can't separate the business from you. You become the business and that starts taking its toll. And it certainly did for me, but Doug, was that article that you found?
So there's an article on Forbes that has, you know, kind of, I guess the title of it is 7 reasons entrepreneurs are particularly vulnerable to mental health challenges. Obviously not all 7 are going to apply to everybody, but, you know, one of the top one that it mentions is, you know, stress and lack of self care to manage that stress. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about with, you know, when life is sink or swim, it's really easy to, forget about, you know, taking care of yourself and unplugging it. And, you know, the stress of, if I don't make these calls today, I may not eat tomorrow kind of thing, you know, can weigh heavier than the fact that, you know, hey, if I don't sleep today, I may break down tomorrow, kind of thing. And so it's, you know, I think entrepreneurs are probably, you know, notoriously sleep deprived and undernourished, and you know, coffee, monsters, you know, those kind of things are, you know, over caffeinated, and, you know, those kind of things that we figure out how to cope with that. But the reality, it just comes down to, you know, not taking care of it. You know, and the other thing that the article mentions in here is one of the other ones that it mentions is, you know, kind of that social isolation. The amount of time that we're putting in as entrepreneurs to kind of push at, you know, our goals and where we're going, you know, can leave us very isolated at times, a lot of late nights sitting in front of the computer, a lot of, you know, days kind of locked away, trying to make it work and figure out how to go and get to that next step. But can leave us extremely, extremely isolated. And I know for me, like that's been definitely an adjustment of trying to, you know, battle that isolation of, you know, working towards what I want to work towards, but also understanding that those are my goals. But at the same time, I've got people in my life that I need to be connected to for my mental health and for just to have those breaks. I mean, and, you know, similar to Sean, you know, going through divorce, that's honestly a huge part of it, comes down to that disconnect. You know, there's other issues, but comes down to the disconnect of, you know, that goal of entrepreneurship that I have that doesn't necessarily line up to her goals, and what she has, and that lack of understanding when I made that jump, you know, definitely kind of put that final nail in. But at the end of the day, like I can't, it's who I am. I can't do it any other way. You know, but hindsight, wish I would have had a better understanding of what it looked like to manage, you know, that balance in my mental health and not become so isolated and consumed with the stress of it all.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, that with that identity of, being able to separate the two is because we don't talk about this kind of stuff, publicly, we tend not to talk about it with our partners, about stress, and particularly probably in males, that, you know, we don't want to, you know, talk about being stressed or anxious or nervous or scared or, you know, anything. Like we have to act like we've always got it under control. And so, you know, one of the things that has helped me along the way is to have a support system, you know, to have mentors and to have other entrepreneurs that are, you know, like advisors and that are just confidants that I know can understand me. I never could go to a counselor, because I felt like they didn't understand me. They didn't know, you know, they weren't like me. They were different. And so, but finding people that I could level with and could open up to, really makes things a lot easier to have that sounding board to bounce ideas off of, to be able to openly share and communicate. For UC Berkeley Institutional Review Board published in Small Business Economics, they did a study of it's 18,000 people, and they compared the differences between mental health and the general public versus mental health and psychological issues that are entrepreneurs face. So it's a publication. There's a lot of medical back and forth. You know, there's no reason that the numbers are what they are, and you can do with it what you will. But I thought it was interesting nonetheless, because, you know, I'm like, again, it's one of those things. Is it just me? Is there some way I can structure my day? Is there something that I'm doing wrong to be feeling this way? And the truth is that it's not. It just comes with the territory. And so being willing to understand and be open and honest with it and educate yourself about the issues and be honest with yourself that you are facing whatever that is that you're facing, and know that there's other people going through it as well and having that support system. But depression 30% of entrepreneurs deal with depression versus 15% of the general population. Or ADHD compared to only 5% of the adult population. A lot of kids, it's typically a children's disease. It's something that happens typically in kids, and it's much more rare to go into a doctor and get diagnosed with ADHD as an adult. But 30% of entrepreneurs deal with it versus only 5%. I thought that was a massive, I mean, you're four times more likely to deal with anxiety, hyperactive, and attention deficit disorder. Addiction, you're three times more likely as an entrepreneur to deal with addiction. And that's certainly something that I battle and that I've had to deal with in my life. I had a really bad drug problem. And some of the top business people in the world will tell you that they dealt with the same thing. You know, you look at somebody like Grant Cardone, who was a heroin addict until he was, 25 years old. And until he was able to recognize and turn that around, you can crawl really far down into some dark places. And when you're not honest with yourself and you find ways to do that. And then it's 12% of entrepreneurs who deal with addiction versus only 4% of the population at large, and then 11% bipolar disorder versus 1%. So we're 11 times more likely to deal with bipolar than the average person. That means we're crazy. We're fucking crazy, guys. That's just what it is. And I'll tell you why. And it's hard not to be crazy when you look at some statistics. I was just talking with Doug. When you looked at the small business statistics for 2018, out of 100 businesses, if you look at the failure rate of startups, in the first year you'll lose 20%. So if you start with 100 businesses, you're going to lose 20%, 20 of those in the first year. So we're down to 80, right? And then out of the 80, between years 2 and 4, we're going to lose another 30% of those. This brings us down to 24 left. From there, we've got 50% of those that we're going to lose in years 5 and 9, brings us to 12. And then from there, we're going to after year 10, we'll lose 30% more. So after 10 years of being in business, we'll have 4 left on average. So it's a ridiculously high failure rate in starting your own business. And that's a sink or swim. Doug was talking about that. I mean, you live that day in and day out. And so, when you get into starting your own business, understand that you statistically, you're not going to make it. So you're already going against the grain, and that in and of itself puts an enormous amount of pressure on you, because you've got a lot of times a family or somebody depending on you. And once you spend, 4 or 5 years outside of the corporate world, I don't know that I could go back to corporate world if I wanted to, if I had to. Like, if my business went under, I don't know that anybody would hire me, because I've been gone so long. They're like, this guy's not gonna, he's not gonna stick around. A lot of times once you're an entrepreneur, you're an entrepreneur in corporate's world, and they don't think that you're only going to stay around to get your back on your feet before you go back out again. So a lot of things that are working against us that cause all of the issues that we're dealing with. But Doug found an interesting article too, that gives you some ways to work with that and how to kind of overcome that. I'll say first and foremost, again, is you got to talk about it. You got to be willing to recognize it, be in tune with your feelings and with what's going on, and be willing to talk with somebody, whether it's a spouse or a friend or somebody, because if you end up letting it go, you'll eventually find yourself in some really horrible places. And a lot of times you'll burn the ship to the ground and fucking lose everything. So what are some of the tips that you found there, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just first off, I will second that, having somebody to talk to and admit things to, and first off, just admitting that, hey, I'm struggling is the biggest thing. I know for me, like, that's the last thing I want to do is ever admit, hey, I'm struggling here. But not admitting that you know, I mean, total transparency, landed me in the hospital 2 weeks ago with just panic attacks from it. So, I mean, and everybody around me was totally shocked by it, but it's one of those things that I knew they were coming. I could feel them coming. And everybody else around me is shocked. And if I would have said anything to anybody, you know, I probably wouldn't have landed in such a horrific place. So, I mean, admitting where you're at to people around you can be huge, even if it's not a counselor or psychiatrist or whatever. It's just, you know, somebody that's around you in your circle, and surrounding yourself with people that you can be real with and say, hey, I'm struggling, can make a huge difference. But some of the ways specifically to kind of alleviate stress, first, you know, would be kind of just keeping things simple, working on what is important and keeping it simple. As far as, you know, I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, it's very easy for us to get wrapped up in all the little details of everything, when the reality is maybe we don't need to be wrapped up in the details. For those of you that own a small business or an agency and you have team members or things like that, empower your team to make the decisions so that they don't have to copy you on every single email. You don't have to get involved in everything you do. Just keep your day down, you know, simple to what it is that you need to be working on. And, you know, to focus on what matters. If you've got a list of, you know, 100 things that need done this week, you know, what are the top five that you can knock out today? And when those are knocked off, then move on. But don't focus on the fact that I've got 100 things to do. Focus on the ones that you can do something about. Focus on the ones that are the most important. And take control over that. You know, take control over what your day looks like. You know, what tasks are you going to manage? Don't let the day dictate you. Dictate the day. I mean, as entrepreneurs, there's always going to be surprises. There's always going to be things that come up. But know what you have to get done and know what you're going to control for that day. And the rest of it, if it comes up and you're able to take care of it, awesome. If you're not, it can wait till tomorrow because it's not a priority today.
Let me chime in real quick on that. You know, that's a big thing for people new in business is to be willing to delegate. A lot of times you start off by yourself, and being able to let something go is really, really hard. Number one, from a financial aspect, can you afford to do it? But number two, will they do it the right way? And listen, I've been burned bad by people that I've trusted and delegated and gave them leadership positions and let them, you know, entrust them with my business. And I've been burned, and it happens. And you know what? It's just something that you learn from. It's not something that will ever, you know, have me, you know, avoid it and try to do it all myself, because at the end of the day, you can't. If you look at anybody that's highly successful, they've got an amazing team around them. So you've got to be willing to, like you said, recognize your strengths, play to those strengths, and then find people who are strong in the areas that you're weak in. Let me just correct myself really quick on the math, though, too. You're left with 8.4, 9 businesses. I said 3, I said 4, but it's 9. So, you know, years 2 and 4, you have 80 businesses. We'll lose 30% of those. That leaves us with 56. From 56, we'll lose half of those. We'll be at 28. From there, we'll lose 30% after 10 years. But nonetheless, I just know I'm going to correct that, because somebody's going to say, oh, this idiot, he doesn't know how to do math. So it's 8.4 businesses left, but it's still an amazing amount of businesses that we'll lose. But I just want to, you know, resonate with that point that he made is be willing to delegate. And then I love what Doug said about understanding that not everything, communication is key to your clients. I had the worst with feeling like I had to always be right there for my clients, whether it's midnight, 2 a.m. or 2 p.m. answer right away. And I had to learn to, you know what, I can prioritize. And as long as I tell my customer that, hey, I'm going to call you tomorrow, and I stick to that, that's really what most people want. The things that you think are ridiculously important that you stress and worry yourself about and will drive yourself nuts about, you'd be surprised if you just start communicating with your clients and saying, I will get to it tomorrow, rather than setting false expectations or ignoring it altogether. I see that happen all the time. I see people, they get a call from their client, they're like, and they just don't answer it. And if you would just respond to them and just explain to them, this is what I'm doing, this is when I will get to you, and stick to that, life will be so much easier, and you'll be surprised at how much can wait till tomorrow. Sorry.
Yeah.
But we got time for Doug. Make one more point here on some of the things that on one of the things that we can do to kind of overcome these from that article.
Yeah. I was gonna say the biggest thing that stood out to me in the article was the idea of planning ahead. It's at least for me, looking back, even when I was at an insurance agency and managing a whole team and running the offices and all that, you know, kind of in the corporate world, but still, you know, to some extent, you know, it still applies. Like I knew what my week was going to look like going into it Monday morning. Like I knew what appointments I had. I could look at my calendar and see that. I could look at, you know, my meeting schedule and know what that was. I knew who my targets were for that week that I had, you know, hadn't got a hold of last week, kind of thing. Like for the most part, you know, 75-80% of my week I could account for Monday morning when I walked into the office. So there was no reason that I didn't look at it on Sunday and plan my week accordingly. And there's no reason I was surprised by it. Yet if I didn't look at it Sunday and I didn't look at it before I walked in on Monday, all of a sudden come Wednesday, I'm shocked by something that I knew the whole time was happening. It just wasn't on my mind because I never looked at it. So sitting down on, you know, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night or whatever, and just taking an hour to look at what your week looks like can make all the difference in the world. And I guarantee you're going to find some things in there that when you walk in on Monday morning, you're going to cancel or you're going to reschedule or you're going to push off to somebody else. Because when you look at it Sunday afternoon, you're going to realize, why am I doing that? Why is that on my calendar? Why is that my deal? Like I shouldn't be touching that. I shouldn't have to handle that. That's what I have people for. Or, you know, there's no reason that client needs an hour of my time. I'm going to send them an email and say, hey, can you just send me a list of what your questions are? And I'll respond back. Like, I don't need to get on the phone with them for an hour and have a whole conversation about it. They're easy questions to answer, or whatever the case may be. I guarantee you're going to be able to streamline your week and alleviate a lot of the stress and a lot of the anxiety of jumping around. I think a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we don't plan ahead and we play reactionary. We play a reactionary game to the day instead of playing a very, you know, calm, you know, planned out game. And the reality is in those reactions, very, very rarely are you going to find success in a reaction. You're going to find it in a response, and you can't respond without thinking about it.
Yeah, I love that. And I've been preaching that for years. I promise you guys, if you take that advice and you will spend an hour or two on Sunday planning for the week, it'll give you 3 or 4 extra hours of productivity throughout the course of the week. You'll find yourself getting more done, doing more deals, being more productive, having that plan in place. And if you'll practice that and just go on social media and look at hashtag success begins on Sunday, you'll see hundreds of people who have followed that and will tell you that it is an amazing transformation. It's something as simple as taking an hour on a Sunday to plan for your week. And while everybody else is bitching about Monday and trying to piece their week together, you're rolling right into the week, and it'll be massively impactful for your business. But guys, make sure that if you're an insurance agent, send a request to Insurance Hustle on Facebook. Find us on social media. We've got all of these reports. If you want to look at the Forbes report, the UC Berkeley report that we had, and you want to get these statistics on small businesses that were published for 2018, just drop one of us an email, Sean at Converted Lead or Doug at Converted Lead, or hit us up on Facebook. Find me at Sean Mathis Official, Instagram, Twitter. Find us on YouTube, wherever. Just get a hold of us, and we will gladly send those resources to you. And make sure that you subscribe to the show so that you can pop in next time. Doug, I appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much. And hopefully this helps you guys. I want you to know that you're not alone. We're just nuts. That's just what we are. But there are ways and best practices that if you reach out, we'll send you that guide to kind of help you restructure your day and kind of manage the dark side, as I call it, of the dark side of the hustle. Thanks, guys. Sweet.